Today on Real Radio.
Judas was the one who controlled the treasury of the ministry. Judas. You know who he was thinking about? The poor. Poor Judas. That could have been mine.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called The Problem with Jesus. It's a collection of studies that takes a look at the person and the work of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in the opening verses of Mark 14, we're told of the well-known account of the woman who interrupts a meal attended by Jesus so that she could pour a very expensive oil on his head. Well, some of the table objected. Yet both she and Jesus knew about the cultural significance of this act of worship, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called The Problem with Jesus, He is Worshipped.
What is she doing? There's no music. There's no instruments. This is pure worship. It's not that music and instruments is not worship. There's a thousand different forms of worship, church. In this particular case, be encouraged. This form of worship has no song, has no instruments. She is dousing Jesus in a symbol. She makes it a symbol, I should add. She makes it something meaningful. And she has heard somewhere along the way, he's going to die. Because listen, it's not uncommon if you lost someone very dear to you, to show your grief, you would take your alabaster flask and you would break it and pour it over the body of the dead. Now, that's a big statement, because if you do that, you've just, in a way, offered up that which you might need to sustain for the rest of your life, especially if you were going to be single. She's pouring it on him. Pure worship. What was she thinking? What if it is Mary, who is the sister of Lazarus, and he's at the table? Mary, what? You didn't even do that for me. What's the deal? When I was dead, remember when I was dead, you didn't even do it for me. She could have said, yeah, but I knew God would raise you from the dead, so I saved it. She pours it on Jesus. Wonderful worship. By her doing that, she's saying, Lord, you're my everything. You're my all in all. I give you my life. Can you imagine? This is an equivalent of what she's doing. And please don't take this wrong. But we put forth the gospel. We make it very clear that when a person responds, you're not. And I'm big on this. I know we use the term, you know, somebody received Christ today, to receive Christ today. The truth is, Christ is receiving them that day. That's the truth. What's really happening, and we use the terminology wrong, some people take that word too literally, we're not receiving Christ when we come to the family or when we come to Christ. We are submitting to Christ. We are surrendering to Christ. If we could do anything, we could change that word. You know, tonight, 300 people submitted to Christ. But we use the word received Christ. We know what it means. Some people get upset about that. Let them be upset about it. The point is, you're submitting to Christ. She's submitting to Christ. So imagine if somebody came forward to submit to Christ like she is right now. And they take their gold off their neck and off their fingers, and they lay down their checkbook and their credit cards and all their cash. That's what she's doing. Wow. She's saying, he's my life. He's everything. I'm totally, totally going to be dependent on him for the rest of my life. This is how we need to come to Christ. And this is how we need to worship. And this is how this week in history should affect us now. We have got to nurture this. We can learn a lot from her. And Jesus, you know, is in the place that is absolute in its uniqueness. He's 100% God. He never ceased to be God. Even when he died, he didn't stop being God. But he's 100% human. He's the God-man. Never repeated, never before, never after, never ever. Only Jesus. And there's something in his nature that is called, and we've talked about it a long time ago, the kenosis, the emptying out, the willful emptying out. Jesus willfully, deliberately chose not to know things when he could have at any moment. This is huge. Think about this. If you really, 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 really wanted to know something, and you chose not to know it, and you had the power to know it, you know, like open the envelope, and the envelope, Jesus says, I'm not going to look at it. I have chosen not to know in my humanity. There are certain times he usurped or exercised, I should say, his right to know. And there's times like when there are those that they were thinking something and Jesus turned to them and said, why do you wonder in your heart about these things? You see, what was going on? He stepped from a moment out of kenosis, got inside their head because he's God, heard everything that was going on and addressed the issue and then went back. He can do that. He, in the garden on this week in history, will tell Peter, put away your sword. Peter, stop cutting people's ears off. Stop it. Don't you know I can call down a legion of angels to rescue me right now? Church, could he have done it? Absolutely. Kenosis, he chose not to do it, to stick to the will of the Father. It's amazing. It's awesome. What does Jesus allow himself to know at this moment? Could it be that she is worshiping him and he, by the way, he mentions, as you compile all the gospels that record this event, this act, as I mentioned earlier, was an act of preparing a body for burial. The weird thing is, he's alive. She was living out prophecy in her worship. I think worship is prophetic. What do you mean? Well, first of all, who are you worshiping? There's nobody here. Think about it. You think the music's for you? When we do worship, it's not for you. It's for him, but he's not here. You can't touch him. He's not interested in being touched like that. You're sending it up, are you not? In the worship, are you not sending it up to him? And because the moment we express worship, in some way, shape, or form, it becomes eternal. It goes into the presence of God, and he loves it, and he dwells in eternity. Here's a freaky thing to think about. The moment you and I die, could it be that we arrive in that moment in eternity? Because it's eternal. It's eternity. There's no time. Could it be that we arrive at the same time our prayers are arriving? Could it be we arrive at the same time our worship arrives? Think about it, because it's eternal. There's no day or night there, it's now. What if people who die right now, believers who die right now, you know how we've all gone through this, and I'm just playing with your head right now, so calm down. But think about this. What if God, who dwells in eternity, We have a funeral service and we say things like, we're sure going to miss our brother. Well, we are. But you know, we just know he's up there waiting for us. I don't think so. Lord, can you tell him it won't be long? He's in eternity, dude. There's nobody keeping time there. Could it be that death, the rapture, everything is arriving at the same moment in the eternal now? Could it be that those who have died in Jesus long before us, maybe months, weeks, years ago, Could it be that we in eternity were all, but it's eternal. That ought to keep you up all night wondering. But when we pray, it affects eternity. When we worship, it affects eternity. And when a sinner repents and accepts Christ, the angels worship in that instant. What happens here in our time zone affects heaven instantly and angels rejoice. But there's no time there. Go figure that out. It's awesome. What did Jesus know on this Wednesday night? This is a blessed act of worship. She's preparing my body for death. She gets it. She heard that I was going to die. She can't take the thought of not worshiping me. She has come and worshiped. She has prophetically worshiped. She's looking ahead, which causes her to worship now. Church, we're going to go to heaven someday. So worship now. Send it ahead. Could Jesus have been thinking that at the exact same time? Could this have been also in his mind? And personally, can't prove it. I think it is. I think it was. Look at verse 3. And being in Bethany, we'll just recap it, at the house of Simon the leper, as he was at the table, the woman came, having the alabaster flask, a very costly spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Verse 4, but there were some who were indignant among themselves. So there's a little group of gripers. And said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Okay, man, could you imagine? Jesus is sitting there, and he's digging it. Well, wait a minute, wait. That's a lot of money. It should be given to the poor. You know what John's gospel tells us? It says these buffoons could care less about the poor. Judas was the one who controlled the treasury of the ministry. Judas. He was thinking about the poor. Poor Judas. That could have been mine. Think about it. Isn't it amazing? Jesus, God in flesh, Savior of the world, had a bunch of cutthroats around him. And his church was only 12 guys, and one of them was a devil. Think of that. That ought to encourage anybody who's in the ministry right now. And they're indignant. And they sharply, hey, lady, what are you doing? Oh, I want to see Jesus' face at that moment. Verse 6, but Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. And whenever you wish, you may do them good. What a rebuke. Do you get that? Yes. Since when do you care? This is what he's saying in our language. Since when do you care about the poor? You haven't done anything about it yet. Why now? Why do you care now? Can you imagine God talking to you like that? You will not escape. But me, you do not have always. She has done, verse 8, what she could. She has come beforehand, prophetically, to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Now, here's the part I'm wondering Jesus also knew. Then. That's a timestamp, by the way. Then. You ought to circle that. That means, in light of what just happened, a decision was made. Then. Something's going to happen based on what just happened. Then, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. By the way, doesn't everybody who doesn't know Jesus, who's dodging Jesus, always try to conjure up a way to conveniently betray him? How can I kind of spin it in such a way where I don't want anything to do with God, but I can get people to think I'm moral, you know, or I'm kind of, you know, I'll be a creaster. I'll go on Christmas and Easter, but never give my life to Jesus. So I just kind of, I'll even buy a Bible. I might even go down to Costco and get one of those really inexpensive but good-looking crosses and wear that. By the way, and sometimes I embarrass my family because I'll see somebody. I always do this in a taxi, wherever I'm at. I don't know what it is with taxi drivers, but they have crosses in their cars. Maybe because they drive so much. But I'll say, What is that cross? I see it everywhere. What does it mean? I'm not playing games. Because what it means to him may be totally different than what it means to me. So what's that mean? People hide behind religious junk all the time. Icons and things and t-shirts and bumper stickers. Convenience. So they're thinking how they might betray him conveniently. Strange. Human nature. And so Judas, you know the story. He makes several visits to the high priest until the deal is sealed. But church, listen. An act of worship, and in the next breath, a man who has been with Jesus through thick and thin, he saw it all. Nobody likes to hear what I'm about to say because it's unsettling. But try to prove this wrong. The Bible says earlier on in Jesus' ministry that he sent the 12 out to preach the gospel and to perform miracles. They came back freaking out with power. Remember? And Jesus said, now calm down. Don't get all pumped up over that stuff. You should get pumped up over the fact that your names are written down in heaven. That's awesome. But the scripture throughout in the Gospels would say from time to time, and this Judas, who would betray him? I think dogmatically, Judas performed miracles. Judas did everything all the other guys did. Miracles have no confirmation of your salvation. Your name written down in heaven is confirmation of your salvation. False prophets, false ministers. The Bible says Satan's got the power to transform his agents into ministers of light. Think of that. I think more now than ever before. Without exaggeration, more now than ever before around the world. There are more predators in ministry than any other time. Why? Because Satan knows the hour is late. And Judas had powers that you and I may not see. You and I don't have. He did amazing things. And he was lost. It's amazing. And I'm thinking, as we just begin to wrap this up, I want you to be thinking about this for a second. The emotion of things. Emotion. Emotion's a weird thing. On Saturday, we had here It wasn't a funeral, it was a graduation service for an extremely dear friend of mine. And, you know, I was doing the service, so I was holding back my emotions a lot. But, you know, I don't know, when was the last time you've cried? Have you cried? You said, I don't cry. Okay. But, man, I found out on Saturday, even if you're holding back tears, it's so expensive to care. It's very tiring. And when you cry or you want to cry, you get a headache. I had forgotten that. It had been a long time since I'd cried. I had a headache. And you're so tired afterwards. How can that happen? Because there's a power in it all. When you know stuff or when you go through stuff, it's wearisome. And I'm thinking right now how Jesus, can you imagine? He knows everything that's inside this worshiper's heart. And he wants to cry for joy. And then at the same time, Judas is across town selling Jesus out this week in history, on this Wednesday in history. What a range of emotion, huh? Can you put yourself in that for a second? Oh, your thought, oh man, that was awesome what she did. She did this for my burial. She got it. Oh man, but Judas, he saw so much. He knows so much. How could he not believe? See, God knew from all time and eternity that Judas would take the path he did. God didn't put a spiritual gun to his head and say, now, Judas, someone's got to go down this road, so sorry, sucker. No, God knew all along, before the world was ever suspended, that Judas would be the turncoat. But that doesn't comfort God's heart at all. He weeps over the death of the wicked. What an amazing thing. So you've got this dynamic taking place. What was Judas thinking when he got up? He saw them. By the way, that was the trigger. The worship, true worship, brought up the, can I put it this way? Brought up the fungus. Brought up the what? The pus. What's gross? What? Bile, puke, yeah. That's good. Worship brought it up. Don't get me wrong, Jesus was fine. He kept his dinner. The woman was fine. Probably everybody else around the room was fine. But Judas just, oh, worship.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus. And of course, anyone who tries to deny the deity of the Messiah still faces one key problem with Jesus. He is worshipped. In fact, that's the title of this lesson, He is Worshipped. It's part of Pastor Jack's multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series, The Problem with Jesus, is available for you on a 4-DVD set. And as you can tell, it's really going to be a useful tool and study series for effective evangelism. That's why we're offering Pastor Jack's series, The Problem with Jesus, in a 4-DVD set for your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, The Problem with Jesus, the 4-DVD set. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. RealRadioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found real easily at RealRadioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.